Hey there, Lions fans. Randy and Rich back with you. Coming to you this week with the M66 North Detroit Lions podcast from the Charles A. Ransom Nature Preserve overlook here, overlooking the
Lake
Charlevoix.
What the locals call Maple Grove Lookout.
Maple Grove Road there, Maple Grove Lookout. It's beautiful this time of year. We've had a bunch of cold nights, a little bit of frost.
See Lake Charlevoix, all the trees turning color and all that stuff. Cool place to be.
With the cement plant, whether you call it St. Mary's or Medusa or whatever it is.
Upon a time, we called it Medusa.
But Lake Michigan, you get a little view of Lake Michigan as well. You feel
way off in the back there, way off in the back.
Fun stuff, nice trails around here. There's some mushroom hunting that goes on
but the big thing is the color.
Trees.
The color, people are going to start wandering north for color tours and seeing the leaves change. Yeah, I think right now it's just starting, here in northern lower Michigan. And I think in the UP, they're probably
farther along,
a little farther along. So, yeah, their color comes first. So,
yes.
But.
Yeah, that is your fall color update here on the 66 North Detroit Lions podcast. And football speaking, not much color changing or anything going on from week to week here. Except doubling the points scored.
Well, we lost again. That's the whole deal right there.
We've lost 24-28 against Minnesota, and now 45-48 against Seattle, and that's just that's tough.
It is. Granted, the offense is scoring a lot of points, but the deal is the defense is giving up more.
Yeah, they're both on record pace.
Yeah.
Basically.
opposite ends of the spectrum there.
Whoever has the ball last will win the record.
The team sport is, both sides of the ball need to be going in the same direction, the way we see it, The offense is going the right way, but it's like the defense is going completely opposite. It's like a bad deal, you know?
The things they're trying this year just haven't come to fruition with the personnel and the injuries and the depth.
You think that the defensive coordinator there, Glenn, is – Glenn, if he was, going to be getting any better, you think we would have seen it by now? I mean, I want to take the guy and say, hey, let's fire this bum. On the other side of the ball, I can see why we haven't,
They're not gonna.
Detroit just is not that kind of a team. They don't fire their coaches halfway through the season. They don't. They just don't.
Of course, they did last year with the offensive coordinator, Anthony Lynn. But it was still much later in the season than, game four.
Well, yeah, but, on a positive side note, though,
they didn't even fire him. They just moved him around and they kept him with the team for a while. They just moved his duties, to save face. So you're still right. They didn't fire him. It's not something that the team likes to do.
Right, but they still put it. He was still up in the booth during games where he was. That's where he always was when he was calling plays, was up in the booth.
Yeah, they just took most of his duties away.
Right, but with the defensive side of the ball, something's wrong here. I'm not exactly sure what it is. Is it injuries? I think that has a lot to do with it. Is it not having the right guy for the right scheme or the right guy in the right place for the scheme?
Right. I think it's square pegs and round holes at the moment. When it comes to the back end, the DBs,
right?
They're all holdovers from the last regime. You got Harris and Oruwariye and Okuda and Walker. We put a lot on Walker, and he got those penalties that got him kicked out of that game for most of that game, or at least the back end of that game, and essentially cost the team a win, which could put you at 2-2 right now, which is a lot better looking than 1-3.
I'm not going to say Walker was the reason. I wasn't going to say Walker was the reason for that loss. I can't let you say
that. I can put it right on.
Well, you can, but I can't.
There's other reasons, of course.
Yes, it's not.
There were coaching reasons.
Not a one-man team here, you know.
Yeah, it's not. But 3 plays later, it's whatever.
Yeah, I agree with you. You know, Tracy needed to step up, and when he stepped up, he went in the wrong direction. And got the flag, got kicked out of the game, And then the next game that he got played in, he got hurt.
Yeah.
And he's out for the season. So
that was awful. You know, he's coming off the birth of his child, and, that's usually, I had predicted a great game for him, a comeback.
Well, you think he would. He got that big contract, but he tore his Achilles, So it's going to be a year, Just like the same thing with Okora.
Right.
Romeo got that big contract, came back, boom, tore his Achilles,
Yeah.
When's he coming back? Probably if he comes back at all, more so towards the end of the season,
Yeah. If at all.
At this point, Who else? Okuda. Okuda got come back, He's still got.
Well, he's doing
great.
Fine. People were putting, even we last week were, talking about him being a shutdown corner and whatnot. Turning into one, right?
Yeah.
And he's still got a ways to go.
We always thought, compared to what happened last year with Imani Oriye, looked at him as being a shutdown corner last year, and then now this year, shit, what's happening?
He got interceptions last year, but he also gave up a hell of a lot of passes.
He did, but the thing was, is like the penalties last game, seemed to kind of carried over to this game. Now, we've had our disagreements with what's going on with the officials. I see, some favoritism. It's like our buddy Todd,
Yeah.
You don't see that at all. And I just don't think that there's, flat out, against Detroit. But I would say that there are, critical times of the game where a particular flag is either picked up or thrown on something that actually didn't happen or was very, very picky, nitpicky, it kind of bums me out that it kind of, you can see that kind of favoritism. Detroit don't have that going on with any favoritism because they even lose in their home stadiums, So.
Well, that's been one of my things the whole time with that argument is if you're the Patriots, and you win all the time, you end up getting the benefit of the doubt. And when you're the Jets and the Browns and the Lions, you're not getting the, it must have been the Lion that freaking was holding or whatever, I can see where that kind of bias would come in. It's like, until you're good, you're not going to get the benefit of the
overcome
doubt.
Overcome and adapt. And that's what Campbell's trying to teach, You're not going to get, any kind of favoritism from any umpire anywhere when you've been so bad for so long.
Right. And asking for favoritism is unsportsmanlike, essentially.
And nobody's asking for anything in Detroit.
Yeah.
Just except maybe a fair shake every once in a while,
But, it...
Yeah, it is what it is.
Sloppy teams are sloppy teams.
Yeah.
And that stuff doesn't go away overnight. Sloppy franchises are sloppy franchises. And they don't go away overnight. And it's, like I said, they've got a lot of holdovers. We don't think about it, but there are still a lot of holdovers from the Patricia era, the Quinn era.
So right.
Not, from the Quinn drafting era. And they haven't done a whole lot to combat the cornerbacks and the safeties. They brought in Kirby, who got his first start this week.
Right.
Due to Walker's injury. And, you know.
Well, you know, they did bring in Mike Hughes.
And later, here we are.
Yeah, well, they brought in Mike Hughes as a free agent. They brought in Elliott, Deshaun Elliott, and Juju Hughes.
Undrafted free agent.
Still, you know, he's been doing okay.
Iffy, a holdover.
Right, well, he's
or
not.
Was he?
No, they drafted
that's
Iffy.
Right. I'm thinking about the old Melifon.
No,
Yeah, so they drafted Iffy, and I don't like to say Iffy.
And Elephant Wu, or whatever.
Elephant Wu, however.
Whatever.
Whoever, you know.
Yeah.
Yeah, and Joseph, you know. And that really, that's not enough at the safety position. I mean,
well, no, especially with Tracy Walker down.
Yeah,
you know,
they were betting on Walker, but I don't think that was really a safe bet.
Well, obviously now it wasn't,
it was for other reasons. I wasn't betting on injury. You know,
right.
I was betting that, unfortunately, that he's not elite or whatever.
You know? Well, you know, to
he's
me,
good
it
enough to get us through, but now we're looking at a really thin group of safeties for the rest
right.
of the season.
But you know how well Okuda's coming along.
He's and we not know, a safety.
No, he's a cornerback, but Imani Awarie is having a really tough time. So we kind of believe that Jerry Jacobs is going to be coming back here very soon, and that should alleviate the problem on that side. Imani has just kind of proven that maybe he isn't an every down guy, you know? If they can, you know, if they're going to put, you know,
here, he would wholly agree with you and scream at you that he was been saying that for years.
Well,
that Imani Awarie is the
not,
should be the third cornerback.
Gotcha.
You know, he should be the guy backing up.
And you're
up.
Right. I remember Tom saying stuff
He should be the guy backing up Okuda and someone else.
And someone else,
You know.
Yeah, and you know, and even Jeff Risden has said that Jerry Jacobs is like the best, you know, one-on-one, stick to the guy defender. So that
yeah, and the way I kind of see things so far with the DBs, they changed the D-line scheme, right? And the way they're doing things a little bit. And which puts more pressure on the cornerbacks. And I think the corners are playing more man-to-man because Okuda's back. And than they were last year with all the fill-ins that they had. And they don't have a safety now backing them up for the man-to-man. And so maybe they're going to change. Hopefully they'll get back to a little more zone.
Well, that might be the whole problem right there.
Having a safety net back there behind the D-line.
Well, yeah, and, you know.
Because we all know the linebackers are kind of lukewarm water right now.
Well, the linebackers are better now than they were when they started.
There's still only like two of them on the field.
But they're getting better, you know.
Yeah.
Barnes, not so much. You know, he hasn't been out there, but Board and Anzalone, you know, especially Rodriguez. Oh, my God, you know. So, you know, I think the linebackers are, you know, they are improving. You can't, but you still, they are not the problem with the team. The problem's been,
they were the last group I brought up.
The problem with the team right now is no pressure on the cornerback from the defensive line, and our secondary is just freaking lost.
Yes, exactly.
You know, just freaking lost.
Yeah. I mean, sure, you can blame Brockers for not having pressure, and you can blame Levi for being hurt. And
Brockers should be in a wheelchair, as far as
we've talked about it. We were hoping that he wasn't going to be a starter.
Yeah,
he was going to just get great backup rotation kind of snaps this year. But with Levi, you know, we were talking about this before preseason games, right? But Levi just is not been able to go.
No.
And that's forced Brockers up there, and now Kaminsky's out.
But McNeil's been doing good. Bugs, he's been doing okay. He's been having his problems, there's no doubt. I don't think, I don't think Bugs is actually ready. You know, maybe he needs another year of, development, but he's there now, you know. And so welcome to the big leagues. Here's your development. Do the best you can, kid. Kid, we'll see you on the other side of the season.
We got him from somewhere else, and he's, you know, not supposed to be a more than a rotational guy as a nose tackle.
Right.
So I'm fine with what he's doing. He's got some pass breakups and things. He's playing at his level. What he's supposed to be?
Exactly.
You know,
he's had a few penalties. But other than that, you know, it's he hasn't really held the team up or anything, or set the team back with anything too big. You know.
Yeah. There's just so many problems on the defense.
Kaminsky, you know, got busted, or you know, his hand had hand surgery. He's still on the team, so I suspect if he comes back maybe after the bye, or maybe, you know, who knows, maybe this week, but I doubt it.
Well, they're talking about Demetrius Taylor coming in for the game here against New England.
Well, that would be awesome.
Meech is his nickname, right? I'm not sure how that... Demetrius Meech.
That's what I'm guessing. Yeah. You know?
I like that. But it's, you know, I remember the quote from the general manager, Brad Holmes, saying, when talking about Demetrius Taylor making the 53, it's the guy's always on the other side of the line. How can we not, you know, put him on? And I get that they generally, you know, bring undrafted guys and hurt guys. They string them out
right.
A little longer than we'd like. And so, you know, because I think if Minnesota had had a little bit more pressure, we could have got some props from that. And the same with Seattle, you know, and that's what Demetrius Taylor was. He's just the guy that's supposed to be on the other side of the line.
Right.
And try and disrupt. And we've had no disruption really for two games.
None whatsoever.
Yeah, the Minnesota game, I was like, okay, they've got a decent line. But Seattle,
there was nothing there. Absolutely nothing there.
Yeah.
Right now, as it stands, we, you know, one win, three losses. Okay, we got three losses, but we've lost those three games by a total of 10 points.
Yeah.
You know? So, you know, our defense, is that why good defense? No, that's not good defense. That's good offense. Yeah. We play good catch-up, yeah. You know?
Why can't we have the ball in our hands at the last?
You know, yeah, well.
The team with the ball in their hand last to win the game. It's just not working out that way.
Nope, sure isn't.
I wasn't really upset with any of the time management this time around. I mean, it was basically just gun it, you know, for both teams. But yeah, that was, it's been tough.
Yeah, you know, and sure, you know, Jared Goff did throw another pick six, you know.
Yep.
If that didn't happen, do we win? We don't know that. But, you know, by score wise, yeah, we would have won by three instead of lost by three, you know.
Yeah.
So.
Both sides of the ball are to blame in that sense. You know, you can throw it around as much as you want.
Yeah. There's a lot of different things you can say that makes this game, you know, lost from all over. I mean, even special teams, you know.
Well, Daly did recover the fumble, didn't he?
The long snapper, Daly?
Yeah, it was the fumble. Yeah. Rodriguez got his hand in there.
Popped it out.
And Daly was downfield and recovered.
Okay,
the
so then I take it back what I said about special teams.
Yeah. It's the kickers, though, yes. The kicker part of the special teams is totally up for grabs, you know, if you want to trash
them. In case
him.
Anybody didn't know, that kicker, Eberle, I think his name.
Eberle,
doesn't matter. He's gone. They waived him today.
Yep.
He's gone. So.
Yep.
So we're looking for a new kicker, either that or
just let
the other one's coming back. Siebert coming back.
Siebert could be coming. Siebert.
Siebert. Yeah. Siebert.
You got it spelled wrong.
Whatever.
Yeah. E before I, but sounds like I before E.
Yeah.
Maybe Fox will just do everything. Let's do that, right?
Why not? Why not?
God, just kick the hell out of it. Yeah.
Yeah. And then that'll give us another, you know, another open space for our defense. We can put somebody out there that, you know,
has a shot at doing something.
Yeah, you know, let Fox do all the kicking.
Yeah. Pittman's around. They brought him back to the
yeah, they signed him to the team. And they
brought him up every week. And
yeah.
So
they did the same thing with Dan Skipper. He's signed to the 53 now, too.
Yeah.
You know, so, you know, it kind of makes you wonder if Big Hal's going to be coming back this year or not, you know.
Right.
Tommy Kramer coming back, you know, he could be coming back this week, you know.
Yeah, he should be coming back soon.
You know, if that be the case, then that Awaseka.
Finger injuries are very important to old linemen.
Yeah.
That's what kept
Ragnow
and Decker out once.
Yeah. Yup. Finger hurts.
Yep. He's got to grab. But not hold. Grab, but not hold. Right?
Be honest with you, Rich. I think we're pretty well set on the offensive side of the ball. We might be a little under the weather come with wide receivers. You know, Chark was down. Cephas got hurt. You know, St. Brown was out. You know, Raymond had a pretty decent game, but we are kind of depleted. Tom Kennedy came up once again. Yep. I don't think they signed him. I think they just elevated him,
correct,
which means that they will probably elevate him again this week.
Yep, they're going to have to with nobody.
Yeah, with nobody there, yeah.
You know, there's no sign of St. Brown coming back before the
bye.
They
did sign another wide receiver to the practice squad, remember?
Josh Jackson.
Maybe
is that right?
Josh Johnson.
Johnson.
Is it? Hang on a second. Let me change it. I shall tell you in a second. Doesn't mean you can't talk about something else, Rich.
Well, I can't if you're talking.
I'm not talking.
But yeah, Chark was out. Reynolds was banged up. St. Brown's out. Raymond was back. Was banged up. Cephas got banged up. Was in a boot after the game. Don't know how bad that is. It's only Tuesday. There's no reports until Wednesday.
Right.
I would assume Kennedy and Marquise.
Josh Johnson.
There you go.
Josh Johnson. Yep. You mean Maurice? Maurice Alexander?
Maurice Alexander. What did I call him?
Marquise?
Marquise, yes. Yeah. It's Maurice.
Maurice.
Yes, yeah. I got to think.
But these are all slot guys. I mean, you know. Alexander is only 5'11", you know.
But there's guys on the team, yeah.
Well, I mean, let's see, he's 180 pounds, and then you come down here, Tom Kennedy, 5'10", 195, Josh Johnson, 5'11", 181,
yeah.
You know.
Yeah,
a little bit undersized, but that's what you got to go with when you're looking for speed.
Right,
you know?
Well, but they're looking for bodies, not speed. Yeah. You know, they're looking to replace Cephas.
We're gonna
he wasn't speed. He's a big guy. They don't have a big receiver.
No. But don't be
Chark. You know, they don't have a tall, fast receiver. So it's an interesting deal.
It is. But those, you know, those are the only wide receivers we got on the practice squad we can bring up. Kennedy, Johnson, and Maurice Alexander.
Yeah.
So all three are not necessarily, you know, like guys that could sit in Chark's shoes, but at 6'4", well, how much? 215 or something like that. But Chark's a big kid. He can run, too.
Yeah.
So I don't know how else we're going to.
We got one more game and then the bye week and then Williams, the draft pick, gets to show up in the wide receiver.
Possibly. You know, yeah. that would be awesome.
But it might take 2 more weeks after that, you know.
Yeah.
Who knows? 1 week, I guess. Because there is a stipulation there with, I believe, coming back from NFI lists and things, that if you're on the 53 afterwards, you have 2 weeks to play, or you have to go back on the IR or whatever. But I think it seems like Jameson Williams could have come back already. They're just really being cautious and
he's on the NFI.
As much time as they can drag out.
Yeah, he's on the NFI, non-football injury.
Yeah, and he could have come back this week, but they're going to drag it out, I believe.
I think he comes back for that Dallas game right after the bye.
Exactly.
You know, so, you know, he needs a little time to acclimate to his quarterback, you know. I'm sure he knows the routes. He's probably been going over them with his head. He's probably slowly been going through them, running routes, best he can, you know.
Yeah.
However, his trainers let him do it, you know.
Yeah. I have a feeling that they may even drag it out longer and go after Dallas and bring it back to let him start at the first home game.
I don't know if they're going to have the luxury to do that.
They may not have the luxury. Exactly.
So, you know, we'll have to see how these next few games play out, how things go for Detroit during the bye week. You know, they get some players back, they get some players rested up, you know, get some players a little more so healthy than what they are, you know.
Yeah.
Guys like Chark, you know, and Cephas, you know. So, you know, some of these ouchie boo-boos, you know, taken care of.
Well, with you see, we haven't talked about the tight ends and Hockenson's record.
Yeah, day, you know, right? Been calling for him. He's been being called out by just about everybody and everybody's brother on Twitter.
We talked about tight ends, I think, 2 weeks ago.
Yeah, including here, myself.
They let Shane Zylstra go. They waived him and then let him clear waivers and brought him back
to the practice squad.
To the practice squad. So. Lions are running with 3 tight ends, and 4 tight ends are no more. At least for now.
That's because there's the possibility that Jason Kabinda could be coming back, and
yes.
You don't need 4 tight ends if you're going to have a fullback. So, and you know they, you know,
and 9 offensive linemen.
Kabinda is a weapon. You know he really truly is, and they use him a lot. So especially up the gut, you know.
Well, it'll be interesting. I mean, it's, I can't wait to see the changes.
Yeah. I mean, you know, they have been putting Matt Nelson out there as the jumbo package guy, you know, and eligible receiver, you know, or eligible, a receiver eligible tackle,
yeah.
I should say.
Yeah. That definitely helped out with an intentional grounding penalty.
Absolutely. It's almost like the referee forgot that he had, you know, reported in, you know.
Right.
Or something. Oh, yeah.
Exactly.
He did.
Whoever threw the flag didn't see him as a receiver.
Yeah. Is that 5 yards or 10? Oh, God.
Yeah.
But.
Because, you know, we talk about the refs and the things. And there was a horrible ref discussion this week about some penalty. When the clock wasn't set right, right?
That's what it was, yeah. And we knocked them off on 4th down, and they said the replay 3rd down because we messed up with the clock.
Yeah,
and, that
and
to
then
me
we didn't get the conversion.
Oh, I was so pissed! I about threw something at my TV on that.
Have a
one.
Drink on me.
I was so pissed, and then they come back the next play and score a freaking touchdown. Oh God, was I mad!
Yeah.
Holy shit, was I freaking mad!
Yeah. I think that's yeah.
Neighbors knew I was mad. That's right. Too, you know. So,
yeah. Yep.
Yep. A lot of joyful and colorful words coming out of my house that day.
That was a tough one to go through.
Yeah, but you know, it's things like that just seem to basically screw Detroit, and that's the kind of stuff that I think needs to stop. But these are the things also in retrospect, you know, that Detroit needs to overcome and adapt. You know, okay, you're going to get screwed by the refs. Okay, get over it, move on, play your shit, you know.
Play cleaner.
Yeah, exactly, you know.
Yeah,
you know,
cleaner and better.
Better, you know.
To my point, another point I had with the refs is Harris was coming around the edge and got held and then threw the flag. And at the same time, you saw Geno Smith tapping his head like, hey, I got hit in the head, man. Where's my penalty? And they didn't give him crap for that. And you look at the replay, and yeah, Harris sure smacked him in the side of the head. Where Rodgers or any other, if you freaking throw a pinky on his helmet, it's offsetting penalties.
Yeah.
Right?
Well, it's like, you know, like anything, you know, nothing's illegal until you get caught.
Well,
there's a lot of guys out there that play
so
that way.
You
know?
It's not so one-sided.
Well, I'm not saying that it is, but I'm just saying it just seems that Detroit gets caught a lot, even when they didn't do it, you know?
Well, but they didn't in that case, and I'm just saying it happens both ways.
Well,
you gotta admit it. And it's football. You watch other
games.
I'm
not admitting that, and we're never going to see eye to eye on that shit.
Other teams are getting screwed by penalties too, because they're the Jets
often
and the Browns. They suck, and they're playing
just
sloppy ball.
It just kind of makes you wonder how much ownership the owners actually have, or is this NFL being run by Vegas? You know, that's the question.
I can't even entertain that.
That's the conspiracy right there.
Yeah.
You know, and I never liked Roger Goodell. I never have. You know, and you know, since he's been here, you know, now we got legalized gambling on the NFL.
Oh,
we got
awesome.
All this is all headed by Las Vegas. And he moved his office. The NFL offices have always been in New York. Now where are they? They're in Las Vegas.
Yeah.
So, okay, but anyway, you know, that's just conspiracy fillings.
It dries up.
You know, Randy's corner over here, but, I just, it sucks if they're going to have, you know, that kind of corruption, you know, because it's going to hurt the league. You know, there's a lot of people that love the NFL, and they don't want to see that. They want every team to have a fair shake. I know I do, you know.
And I think they all do. I see penalties all over the place that shouldn't happen.
Well, I see what I see is a bunch of officials that need to be fired, and they need to bring in real officials. They need to address this. This has always been a problem in the NFL, is officiating. When they get low on it, they bring in scabs. You know, guys that just, you know, they're like, you know, they're lawyers and stuff during the week, you know, and they come in on the weekend and they officiate. And it's like,
there is a reason that they do that.
The NFL needs to address it. They need to have like a school. They need to have guys be tested, and they need, you know, especially eyesight, of anything else. But, you know, they just need to be tested to see if they qualify to be an NFL referee. And that's all I'm asking for, you know, as a fan, you know.
Well, essentially, I mean, they have the job, so they pass the test, right? They go through
I don't
their
think
school.
So.
They go through their school, and
I don't think so. I don't think there's any schooling
there is,
at all.
There
I
is,
don't.
But,
I think it's if you're a friend of a friend of a friend.
The reason that they do that is the NFL does not want to employ the refs, because then there is no transparency.
Well, they're being employed by Vegas then. You know, that's,
no, they're not.
They need to be employed by the
one
NFL.
One guy here and there, maybe. You know,
yeah. Well, anyway, let's not talk about this. This is bullshit. This is going to piss me off. And
that is the problem.
I don't want to be
mad about
this.
The league can't employ refs. That is the problem. That is where the root of all of this. They can't, because they can't be, oh, here you go, here's your paycheck, ref.
Well, that's where the owners need to come in.
Here's your paycheck, ref.
Well, that's what has right. to happen, Rich.
That can't happen. That can't
it
be
can.
That way.
It no, can. If they want it to, it can. Anything can happen if you want it to.
I don't want the that's NFL Cinderella. Or the owners handing the ref a paycheck.
Stop.
You know?
I just don't think it's the way they're doing it is wrong.
I'm not saying it's not broken.
It is.
But I don't want the owners handing the refs a paycheck.
Well, that's why the NFL in its
or the NFL.
The NFL needs to be. Well, anyway, just something that needs to be addressed. I believe the officials suck, and it's becoming quite obvious. And the NFL needs to address it because they've got professional athletes playing with freaking, at times, you know, preschool refs. You know, flag football. Some of these guys shouldn't even be ref in high school or.
It's something I think that's worse than that is turf. Just get rid of turf. There's freaking stadiums, you know, and somehow just get grass in there. Just grass, you know. If you want to get into something that'll help injuries, you know, and get off of the referee topic.
Well,
right?
That's a whole nother subject.
That's the idea right now.
Well, not to me. No. Let's get on with it. I mean, you know, the defense, besides the problems that they've had, you know, the offense has been carrying the load pretty well. They're like one of the highest scoring teams in the NFL right now. Yeah. And a lot of that is because of Jared Goff. You know, everybody kind of give Jared a whole bunch of crap in the last 2 years. You know, oh, he's not a good quarterback. Oh, he's not this. He's not that.
They're giving Stafford crap this week.
Yeah, and they should, because he's gotten his ass kicked 2 weeks in a row, you know. But Goff, I think, is you know, we've always said it. He's a better quarterback than everybody's saying he is. And nobody's going to believe it until he starts proving it.
Yeah.
The only reason that they gave him a bad name in the first place is because he's on the Lions team, you know. And so, you know, we'll see what happens from here on out. But I think Jared's going to be our quarterback this year and next year for sure, too. They might get a quarterback next year's draft. But, you know, I really don't see if they do. I don't really see them taking one in the first round, you know.
Well, it's interesting what we're seeing from a couple of other teams around the league right now with Bailey Zappe that may be starting for.
He is starting, from what I understand, for New England this week.
Yeah, you know, a rookie guy that taken later, not necessarily to be the starter, but to be a decent backup, right? There's another team. Steelers with Pickett. Right.
Oh, right. Yeah.
You know, I mean,
has he even played this year yet?
No.
Just in preseason.
Yeah. Just he's in place of Trubisky this coming week. So he was drafted to be a starter, but still, you know, the best out of not a great bunch. Let's just say that, right?
Yeah. Well, you know, as far as injuries go with the drafts that our GM has had, you know. You kind of still are starting to wonder about whether his drafts were as good as we thought they were, you know. But, you know, I can almost guarantee you he's been looking at quarterbacks, you know, ever since he came in to Detroit, you know, other than Jared Goff. I mean, you know.
Yeah, they weren't really.
They weren't. When they found out they were going to get Goff, you know, they just like, you know, okay, we can put this quarterback thing off for, you know, and build the rest of the team.
Yeah.
You know, they don't need that quarterback right now. They have Jared Goff.
They've struck out a bit on the defense.
Well, that's because they really haven't been putting any
second round curse, right?
Well, they haven't really been putting a whole lot into the defense. You know, I mean, these guys were supposed to work out. Levi and Barnes, you know. McNeil's working out.
The drafts haven't been great in the D line lately, an interior defensive tackle. You know,
right? Well,
Levi
Bryant's,
was the first one taken.
Bryant's finally coming around. You know, he only got in on a handful of plays this week. He should have played more. And
you wonder,
yeah.
But Okoro was in there in front of him, right? Bryant was in for really someone else at that point.
Yeah, you know, I think he only got
Kaminsky,
like 14
right?
snaps or something like that. You know,
because Okoro was starting, and then Bryant came in as an injury replacement.
You know, look what's going on with Barnes and his back. You know, he's still at a standstill. You know, we're still waiting for that guy to.
I thought Barnes was in there. He was playing.
Levi. I'm sorry. Levi. Kaminsky, you know, he's got his head hand surgery. He's still on the 53, you know. You know, so, you know, they must have brought Okora up because I think, nope, he's a linebacker. Yeah.
Right. But he essentially replaced. When he came back, he replaced Bryant in his snaps. And he sat last week for the most part and then didn't play a whole lot more this week, but a little more. I forget who. I guess it was Kaminsky that he was making up for.
Right. Kaminsky's been out, you know.
Yeah.
So... That makes sense, you know. Bring in Pittman.
Yeah, it's the whole linebacker, D lineman.
Defensive
right?
end or edge guys, you know. That outside edge rusher, I guess, you know, the specialty guy or
edge
whatever.
Edge player, right. And Bryant's an edge player, but they call him a D lineman. And Okor is an edge player, but they call him a linebacker. And they're essentially. One and two at their position, but they're just have a little different designation. Which
right.
Is,
well, they're the kind of a hybrid in betweener,
right.
you know, kind of thing.
Yeah, it makes it hard to talk about. That's all I'm saying. And then Pittman's behind all of them.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. Well, we started out with talking about the tight ends and Hockenson.
That's true. I suppose
we did. And Brock Wright has made I think Brock Wright is going to...
He's all right.
Yeah, Brock Wright is all right. He's firmly the number two.
Yeah.
And Hockenson, I've been riding and riding on him. It's like, come on, you're a first-round draft pick. You know, you ain't earned your cash. And as soon as I started picking on him, how many touchdowns did he get? Two?
I forget.
100 and some odd yards,
yeah.
You know?
Yeah, and that's... really the first time that he's been let loose as a receiver.
It's the first time he's ever caught anything.
He had
so many drops in the beginning.
He had 133 against Arizona in his first game of the season, the first game of his career, and then just was nowhere.
Right.
And
well,
but they've been using Hawk blocking a lot this year.
And
Wright was taking that this week. Hawk was solely... schemed up as a receiver this week, in my opinion. Damn the blocking for Hawk. It was, you're running routes and we're throwing it to you because Chark's out, Reynolds out, Sam Brown's out. See,
right. Wright made a big catch, too.
He had one, yeah.
Yeah, 20-some yards or 17 or something like that.
Yeah, so I didn't hear much or see much of Mitchell, so I can't really...
No, I didn't either. You know, he might be blocking. He might be out there doing some blocking. You know, so we don't hear from that. You know,
and that's fine. But
unless he's holding, and we hear from you know,
right? But it's So maybe with the three tight ends now, and maybe the fact that Zylstra is on the practice squad now,
which is good.
Is that going to bring a space back for Kabinda here?
I think it obviously does.
Not this week because they've made that, made those distinctions already, with Pittman and D lineman Paschal. Kabinda and Paschal have been signed to the practice squad, right? So I don't see that happening this week for him, but for Kubinda. But that would be after the bye week now.
Possibly.
Yeah, so maybe, you know. The coach had said that he's like the closest to coming back.
Right.
I guess.
Yeah, so they might make a different designation at the end of the week, the closer game time gets, you know. So, but just stay tuned. But more than likely, it's going to be after the bye week, I would think, you know.
Yeah, we're going to be probably hitting this topic again. Yeah. You know, during the bye week podcast, where we just are questioning who's coming back. Yeah. Who's not coming back? And that's, we're going to be doing that a bunch with Williams and Okora, Kubinda, Paschal, and Jacobs. And,
well, next week we should bring up
Anzarike.
Next week, Rick, we should bring up that we're going to go watch the game with our friend Rocky.
Yes.
And immediately afterwards, we're going to do a podcast with our friend Rocky in his basement. So
that's going to be fun.
Yeah, that'll be a good one, too. We'll have another opinion on what happened. The game will be fresh in our minds, and we'll be...
the Kalkaska Man Cave.
Yeah.
We have a little corridor that lets us... We've annexed, kind of like Russia's trying to do with with the Ukraine. We've annexed...
Fuck Russia.
We've annexed a little corridor from that goes south of the 45th parallel. And we've annexed a little bit of territory that includes Rocky's abode.
Yeah, we'll just say we went over the line a little.
No. Never go over the line. Take that line. Hold that line.
Overcome and adapt.
Overcome and adapt.
Yes. And that should be, you know, that should be the theme for this week. You know, we're going to play... Matt Patricia, ex-coach, there should be so much hostility in this game. But then again, I bet you there won't be because it's going to be played in New England, you know?
Oh, there'll be hostility.
Yeah, so, well, it depends.
Chips on shoulders and all that.
Yeah, I'm sure with the teams, there's going to be a few chips here and there. Now, remember, their best guy on the team last week was Jelani Tavai, so... Tough one there. We're going up against Jelani Tavai.
I thought he was on the practice squad.
No, they elevated him up. I mean, apparently he had the best game of them all last week. So
good for him. Hey, you know. Let's hope that it goes that way for Jeff Okuda.
Who's their quarterback?
Two interceptions on Patricia's offense.
Who's their quarterback?
Bailey Zappi.
Oh, quite yeah. Possibly. What happened to the other guy?
Well, they're all called Tom. I stole that from what's her name? Twitter girl.
Whatever. Yeah. You know.
That's kind of funny though.
They're all named Tom. Huh?
Yeah, after 20 years, it's hard not to call him Tom. Yes, Mac Jones.
Jones. Yeah. Our friend Todd's was telling everybody that Mac Jones was probably the most NFL ready quarterback out of that draft. He was.
Well, he was last year.
Yeah.
I don't know what the hell happened to New England this year, but they're
Matt Patricia.
Oh, that's right.
Matt Patricia. Jeez, Rich, how can you forget that shit?
Yeah, they came close to winning this weekend, though, so we'll see. Maybe they're. Getting something together. Who knows?
Well, against our defense, you know.
Well, that's the thing. I mean, Seattle was well below New England in my eyes last week.
What happened? You know, they set the freaking world on fire. Well, Detroit, anyway.
Well, that's
what
happened, yeah. Then you saw it in the coaches. Demeanor in his press conferences about the defense. He's like, not happy.
No, not at all. And he did say, you know, in the media this week that he's going to make some personnel changes, Whether that, you know, includes staff, we don't know. You know, we can't say that.
No, it seems like it's personal.
We can, but it's pure speculation, you know. My guess is...
Pure speculation.
Well, if anything's going to happen on the defense, yeah, it's probably going to be that Brockers is out and Taylor is in, or the Meech is in. You know, what's going to happen with Kaminsky, we'll probably find out, you know. Who knows? Bryan only got 14 snaps. Maybe he'll get more this week. You know, McNeil's been playing good, you know. And Brocker's just been playing his age. That's all, you know. And I think we will see more on the edge with Harris, you know. But whether they bring up Quora up next week, I kind of doubt. We'll see.
Right. Yeah, I don't see that.
Not after signing Pittman, you know.
A good long while, unfortunately. Yeah.
But, you know, we're going to have some different things going on in the backfield, and I'm not exactly sure what's happening there. Maybe Jeff Okuda comes back. Maybe Jeff Okuda doesn't come back.
What do you mean come back?
Well, or not Okuda. Jerry Jacobs. Jacobs comes back or Jacobs doesn't come back. You know, more likely.
Yeah, it's Jacobs
still in the air to me.
Jacobs and Paschal, the line and the DBs could both use a shot in the arm, and hopefully the two of them are back soon.
Yeah, Melifonu, I'm probably going to get more playing time. You know, he's been hurt too. You know, so
yeah, it's weird to
still
see
on the 53 though.
Yeah, I just wonder if he's getting beat out by Joseph and Hughes for snaps, and that is depressing if that's, you know.
Well, I don't, you know.
He's been around longer.
That might be it, just because he's, you know, the younger guy, you know. But it doesn't mean that Juju and Joseph is better, you know. It just might be a seniority thing, you know.
So, if he's been around longer, he should be getting snaps.
But like you say, you know, they like to bring their, you know, if he got hurt, they bring him back slowly. That could be the reason, too.
Right, so maybe this is the week that turns that around.
Well, with Walker out, I kind of got to believe they don't really necessarily have a choice, you know.
Well, yeah, I just don't know how they
That you're going into game time with four safeties, you know. That's all you got right now on the board, you know.
Yeah.
That's all we got is four.
Yeah.
You know. So. Yeah.
And Harris. Harris is maybe technically a backup safety, right, because he's played the positions.
Right. You know,
but still.
Yeah, I mean.
It's not ideal.
No.
In any sense of the word.
No, that's why they moved him to cornerback, you know, but.
Yeah.
You know, was Harris doing any better than Amani? You know, I thought of doing, you know, I didn't hear any.
But all
I didn't hear any penalty flags on Harris, you know, so.
True. Yeah. It's all just so weird with the changes that they made last year, how none of that's working this year.
Yeah.
You know, with Melifonu and...
Well, it's not that it's not working.
Switching positions.
Melifonu just hasn't played, that's all.
Well, that's true. You know? But, I mean...
It's not like it isn't
working.
There's
still gambles, though. When you switch a guy's position, at the end, you draft him, or he's drafted for one position, and you don't replace him, you just...
Right.
Switch Harrison.
But also, though, if a guy goes out hurt, you want to bring him back, you want to make sure he's not still hurt or he's going to get hurt again.
Yeah.
And then he's going to be out, you know.
It just feels like they need to be replaced.
Well, I don't think that's the problem, Rich. I think
Harrison and Melifonu, there needs to be, you know, better back ends at this point.
Right, but the season is young. My friend, and that's all you got to remember at this point in time. There's going to be a lot of changes between now and the end of the season.
Well,
and we are basically just getting freaking started.
But if you're talking personnel, like coaches talking, right? You know, change of personnel. The waiver wire is not going to help you here.
Well, I don't think they're looking at the waiver wire to do that.
Right.
You know?
All you're looking at is moving around our chess pieces, and our chess pieces have been proven to only have so much power.
Well, probably, but the thing is, though, is it's not necessarily the power that you're looking for. It's the speed, and the juke, you know, you got to get through that line to get to the quarterback. And if you can't do it with power, you have to do it with finesse. And, you know, that's where you this meet Dimitri Meech. Yeah, you know, he's a little undersized, but he's quick. He's fast. Yeah. You know, he's like Hutchinson, a little undersized, but he's quick. He's fast. He gets in the backfield. He's got 5 sacks already this year. You know, or no, 3 sacks and 2 hurry or five.
He's got hurries. Yeah. And pressures.
Exactly. You know. So, you know,
lots of double teams and things like that.
It's not necessarily the power they need. They just need pressure on the quarterback. And you can get some little linky guy in there. It's like under 300 pounds. They can get around a 335-pound guard. You know, hey, I want that guy on my team, you know?
Yeah. It's just you look at the defense. It's like, okay, well, you might need to replace Brockers.
There's no doubt.
Levi might be a disappointment.
Maybe.
You're probably going to want to upgrade the Bugs Taylor thing.
Bugs, for sure, yeah. I would think, unless they look at him as a good guy that they work out for a while. Sure. You know.
I'm gonna developmental, I'm sorry. The whole defense here.
Yeah.
Yeah, you want to upgrade Anzalone.
Anzalone, even though he's getting better, you know.
Yeah, and the board in the woods.
I don't think you can get much better than Chris Board right now. I actually think you need to be looking at Board and Rodriguez for next year.
Well, that could be, but you know? Woods, definitely. But I'm just thinking the numbers. You got Barnes that you're invested in and Rodriguez that you're invested in. Okora, you're still invested in. And Anzalone, Board, and Woods are your questions.
They get one-year contracts.
Right.
Maybe, Barnes doesn't, but Anzalone does.
Yeah, Anzalone, Woods, Board, you know, maybe Board sticks around, something like that. Who knows?
I think Board sticks around. I think they make him an offer because he has been a highly, you know, PFF-graded type guy, you know. Yeah. So
maybe Pittman keeps kicking around. I don't see. Special teams guy, right? You got to have your special teams guys.
They keep bringing him back. You keep bringing him back, so.
Then looking at corners,
might have to look at
some. Mario might not get a contract.
Well, he might, but as a backup. You know, we've kind of proven the last couple games that he's not a starter.
Right.
You know, and if he is a starter, he needs a rotational piece that helps him more so than.
He's paid for his output, let's put it that way.
Right.
Okuda's sticking around.
Absolutely.
And then you're looking at Harris, Price, Hughes, and Lucas. Lucas, I think it will get, you know.
Lucas for sure.
Around, right?
Yeah, Lucas and Hughes has been doing pretty good, but they really like Bobby Price, and I think he might be developing into something that they like a lot. Yeah.
Him
you
and
know?
Pittman, you know, I hope they can stick around.
Yep, me too.
But you're still looking at 3 corners that can be upgraded, 3 linebackers that can be upgraded, 3 linemen, D-linemen that can be upgraded.
Oh, God, to start.
And then you need a safety or two. You know, it's that's 6.
Right, because right now.
11, you know, that's 11 D-linemen or defensive.
You gave Tracy Walker a lot of money. You gave Tracy a lot of money to start. Now he's hurt, you know, so he's been a disappointment. You know, he'll come back. You know, will he be the same Tracy Walker? Well, I hope not.
you know? You want him better. You want everyone better. Right?
Yeah, everybody needs to be a little bit better. I'm not so sure they should have given him that contract, but.
Well, they had to. I mean, that was.
You're right. They really.
We haven't brought in draft talk like other people have. And, you know, what might be available this year.
Right, they did talk about Kyle Hamilton was, you know, a safety that everybody was looking for at last year.
Yeah, and, you know, you're just going to have to keep upgrading, and hopefully the defense is where it happens this year.
Yeah.
But, you know, like I said, we're not bringing up the draft.
It's going to have to. I mean, our offense seems to be, like, right on. It's freaking awesome. I love it, you know, just the way it is right now.
Yeah, so.
And, but our defense? Holy shit, we need some work.
Spend every prick on the defense. That's what Tom wanted to do last year.
yeah.
Maybe Tom will be back here to give us some
Two cents. That'd be cool. We're inside 1 minute here, Rich. Well, we have to kind of sign off on our little adventure here in the outback with all these colors and stuff.
Yeah.
So this has been
the old M66 North Detroit Lions podcast with Randy's ailing back and my ailing dental issue here.
Lots of work to do before fall, before winter.
Yes, sir.
Sucks when your back goes out.
Yep. I hear that. So until next week.
Yeah, good luck, Lions, next week.
We need to beat this. They've got some color tours going on up there, too.
So. We need to beat the shit out of the Pat.
Yeah. So watch for deer, One Pride.
And go Lions. Yeehaw.